You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Thursday's edition of the Racing Podcast, where we're looking ahead to the third day of action from the Cheltenham Festival 2017. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair, and joining me is Kevin O'Malley to look back on the action from day two and look ahead to the Thursday from Cheltenham, where the feature race is, of course, the Stayers Hurdle. We'll be live on William Hill Racing Radio from 12:10 p.m. with extended build-up to the festival for an hour, and then Racing Radio gets underway, as always, for the action at Cheltenham alongside Hexham and Toaster. Evening racing at Chelmsford and Dundalk. First things first, Kev, how are you?
I'm really well. Been really enjoying this festival.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a mix of trainers winning the races, and as we've just seen in the Champion Chase, a little bit of an upset with Duvan getting beaten. Disappointing on the day. But yeah, it's been a really enjoyable festival so far.
Yeah, absolutely. We're about at the halfway point when this podcast goes out. As you mentioned, Kev, we're recording this pretty much straight on the back of the Queen Mother Champion Chase, where the shock of the festival so far by a country mile has just been dealt to Duvan, who was just an absolute bank for the week. It was a case of how far could he win, and never looked himself, did he, Kev? I think he jumped two, maybe three flights with his usual zip and panache.
And the rest he hit.
Yes,
basically.
Exactly. And the rest he just sort of ambled over them.
It's a concern. You know, the Mullins Yard in general hasn't been in good form this year, in 2017. And overall, the season has just, I don't want to say rather fallen apart, but, you know, it's kind of a regression to the mean in terms of, you know, their luck at the festival. They've just had some amazing days in the past, but they are just horses. Duvan is just a horse. You know, he's not the alien that many people think he is. He's still just a horse, and so it's been proved today. We hope that they're all okay. I mean, you know, we don't know. A virus in the yard, are they just a bit off colour? Who knows? We're yet to hear from Willie Mullins. It's going to be, you know, we need to find out. We need to hear from Willie now, don't we, to find out what he thinks of all of this. But, you know, Special Tiara has just won the Champion Chase.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, Kev, a horse that deserves a day in the sun, having finished third in the race twice, has his own way of running, always goes out in front, and will probably be quite a popular winner of the Champion Chase when the dust settles, given that he's run so well in the race for the last couple of years. And he is quite a sight when he's in front on his own, doing his thing.
He jumps well. He absolutely adores this kind of ground as well. And he's shown in the past how much of a zest he has for Cheltenham. He's left himself vulnerable to Classy Sorts over the last couple of years, but the Classy Sort underperformed today. And, you know, he was able to come out on top. Fox Norton was closing all the way to the line. Sir Valentino coming over the last looked like we might have a complete shock in the Queen Mother. But Special Tiara is not an overwhelming shock. He's a high class horse, and he's won the day, you know, so fair play to him, fair play to Henry de Bromhead for doing a fantastic job with him over the years. He's been a grand servant.
Certainly has, yeah. Great win in the race for Special Tiara. We mentioned Duvan, obviously, who disappointed Kev. God's Own, probably a slight disappointment. He didn't jump all his fences all that well, landed on top of one, and was probably put off by Duvan at a couple of them as well. He was racing just upside Duvan.
Yeah, I mean, just have to watch the race again to see how it all unfolded. It was a disappointment to see Duvan just not shown that real flair that we know he has. We know he's a complete tank of a horse when he gets it all together. But, you know, when you put it all together between Faheen, you know, coming back, then he was back, then he wasn't back, and then Annie Power, she was back, and then she wasn't back, and then now this with Duvan and all the horses underperforming, there's something wrong.
Yes.
Let's hope that, you know, Willie Mullins can come out of this cloud, because he's got some fantastic horses. But yeah, the Champion Chase, as usual, was a great spectacle, and the rightful winner has won on the day.
Yes, correct. Yeah, hopefully Willie Mullins can bounce back from this. I suppose it sort of further illustrates, Kev, that he's not some sort of superman, is he? He can have problems in the yard just like any other trainer.
Yeah, well, I mean, it started off by, you know, losing the Jigginstown horses. He was still left with a tremendous squad of horses to go to war with. You know, but the writing was on the wall kind of yesterday when you start seeing these two mares being ran out of it by Apple's Jade. Yep. You know, Limini had beaten her comprehensively last time out, and it's all just kind of falling apart for Willie Mullins at this festival. I'm sure he'll bounce back, but yeah, it just hasn't been his week so far.
No, it certainly hasn't. Let's look back at some of the other highlights then on the Wednesday. We'll start with the first race of the day, Kev, which was the Neptune, which produced one of a few thrilling finishes in the early part of the card on Wednesday. That went the way of Willoughby Court. Looked for all the world as though the favourite in the race, Neon Wolf, was going to come and collect Willoughby Court, but so game, so tenacious. Neon Wolf made a little bit of a meal of the last, but Willoughby Court was just seemed to be in love with the game in the finish there. Wasn't going to lie down.
It's a shame that, so in terms of Neon Wolf backers, it's a shame that something didn't take on Willoughby Court earlier on to make it a sterner examination, because essentially David Bass was able to dictate his own pace, and it looked, to my eye at least, like they were going pretty slow early on, and he was able to just wind it up at his own pace. And David Bass, to be fair to him, gave the horse a really, really good ride. Neon Wolf, what he is an outstanding prospect.
Yes.
If he were mine, because you know, Harry Fry does like having a champion hurdle horse in his stable, I'd like to keep him over hurdles. I'd love to see him be, you know, campaign towards the champion hurdle next year, and you know, run in a really strongly contested 2 mile race. We see what he can do over 2 miles already this season. I think he's just about got that trip today, given his class. But it, you know, the way he jumped around Cheltenham, the way he travelled, just the way he uses himself in general, he's a very, very high class horse. If he does go over fences, he's obviously a novice chaser of the very highest calibre, Neon Wolf. Willoughby Court, he looks like a stayer, and he'd,
yes,
he'd probably go up in trip, and he'd probably go over fences too. You know, and it was a very, very good race, and it looked a good Neptune on paper beforehand, and it's turned out that way with the right horses finishing in behind the front two.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said there, tactics spot on by David Bass and Ben Pauling, who said after the race, I suppose it's easy to say after the race, but he said there was a complete lack of front runners in this race. So he just instructed David Bass to let him go out in front, let him do his own thing, and he settled really well.
And don't forget too, a lot of these horses were stepping up in trip.
Yes, of course, yeah.
And, you know, Willoughby Court had already won over 2 miles five on soft ground at Warwick. You know, I'm always banging on about stamina. I thought Neon Wolf was a certainty for the race, but you know, stamina's won today, and Willoughby Court is a good horse. Ben Pauling has he's got a classy sort on his hand. He's got some nice horses in the yard, and you know, he held this horse in high regard. But I just thought Neon Wolf was a little bit of a freak, and I thought he'd win the race. But you know, under a good ride, been prepared to the minute to run for his life today, and that's what he's done, and he's won him the race.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way of the Neptune then. And who'd have thought, Kev, 40 minutes later, we get an even more thrilling finish to a race in the RSA and the 210. Fortunately, it's gone the way of Mike Bites in the end. Had it not, Kev, I suspect it would have been a big fat no one asked you to do today's podcast.
You know, I've had two pretty testing times live on air on this radio station. Very popular radio station that a lot of people listen to. The first one, unfortunately, was when Many Clouds won at Cheltenham last time out. That I found that really difficult after that. But this was kind of a different dynamic. My bet of the week, Mike Bite. I strongly fancied him since December. And to put in a performance like that, you know, and you know, when the likes of Whisper and them were still travelling well, Bells Hill was still travelling well coming down the hill, lots of them still travelling well. But instead of them gaining ground on Mike Bite, he was pulling further and further clear. And as they were approaching the last, he was about 15 lengths clear of them. It was ridiculous, the performance he put in. And then what happened over the last, he just kind of, I don't know if he missed his mates or if he was getting tired, but it didn't seem like he was getting tired.
No.
He regathered momentum again to get up and beat Whisper, who flies up that hill.
Yes.
You know, if there's a horse in training that flies up that hill, it's Whisper. But somehow, after going two lengths up on Mike Bite, he's found a turn of foot from nearly standing still to get up and beat Whisper. I mean, it was a tremendous performance, really.
Absolutely. I think two great rides there as well. I think Davy Russell's done everything he possibly could to give Whisper best chance of winning the race. And for Nico de Boinville to get Mike Bite going again after almost stopping was very impressive. And as you said there, the horse, a great jumping performance. They went a hell of a clip. Almost reminded me of when Coneygree won that intermediate chase that he qualified for at Sandown after the Gold Cup.
Yes.
I know it was a different type of horses, but the way Coneygree just slit the throats of his rivals on that occasion.
Yeah, I get the kind of vibe you're on about. And I mean, Nicky Henderson does like to buy these big, dark bay horses, doesn't he? He looks a bit like Sprinter Sacra. I mean, he's got that kind of aura about him, the way he uses himself over a fence, especially Mike Bite. yeah, I mean, for him, the future is very bright. He's an 8-year-old, I believe. Yeah, he's an 8-year-old. Yeah. So he'll go to Kempton on Boxing Day. That'll be his sole target.
6-1 for the King George.
You know, what a race that could be. If Thistlecrack comes back, hopefully we'll get Duvan back on an even keel, and we'd like to see him returning something like the John Durkin over 2 miles forward.
Yeah.
You know, see what kind of form he can get in. You can be sure if he wins that well, they'll be looking towards Kempton rather than trying to keep him back over 2 miles again. So the King George of later on this year could be quite the race.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Bites is 6-1 for that race, as mentioned there. And the Speed Figure boys will tell you, Kev, that when he came down at Kempton on Boxing Day this year, he was setting an incredibly good time that was favourable compared to the time Thistlecrack set in the King George.
Yes.
So it would be superb to see that pair together. Before we move on to Thursday then, one quick mention on the other race that we haven't discussed that has been ran today and we haven't mentioned. The Coral Cup as well, always a ultra-competitive heat, Kev. It went the way of Super Sunday, which is yet another nod in the direction of the form of last year's Supreme Novices. So many good horses have come out of it and frank the form. It looks a rock-solid race.
Yeah, it was a really good contest. I fancied two in the race, and they both travelled up as if they were going to run well. Pellegrin Run being one of them. I thought he was the most likely winner of the race. He travelled well, jumped, got a nice seam up the inside, and it looked for all the world like he was going to run a big race. But Super Sunday, he's a fine, big, scopey type of horse, is Super Sunday. And, you know, a welcome winner for Jessica Harrington.
Yeah, absolutely. Her ninth winner at the Cheltenham Festival, then Super Sunday won the Coral Cup. Let's move on to day three of the Cheltenham Festival. Now we'll take a quick look at the first four races on the card. We begin with the 130, which is JLT Novices Chase, a Grade 1 chase over 2 miles and at 3 furlongs. At time recording, York Hill is the 5-4 market leader. Top Notch 130, Disco 5-1, Politolog 5-1, 16-1 for Flying Angel, 20s and bigger the rest. Given what we've just seen with Duvan and what we've said about the Willie Mullins yard, would you be prepared to take York Hill on now?
Absolutely. I was prepared to take him on anyway.
Oh, right. Okay.
I mean, you know, he won last time out.
You were taking him on before it was cool.
I was. You know, I like the horse, but
yes,
he is, you know, a well-known, I won't say vagrant, but he's a bit of a fruit loop.
Yeah.
you know, but he's a hugely talented one.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I mean, even if you look at the form of last year's Neptune, let's just go down. I'll get it up here. And some of the, you know, the form of that race hasn't worked out very well in terms of festival form, at least. Yanworth finished second. He, you know, he's disappointed in the Champion Hurdle. It's a Freebie, Belly Conto, Well Shadow.
Mm.
The form that Neptune last year doesn't amount to masses. And he's 5-4. Given the form that the Willie Mullins yard is in, he is the most opposable favourite tomorrow by far. Now he has to be, considering that's it's a neat little race. There's 8 runners there. Top Notch has done absolutely nothing wrong. He hasn't hit a fence all season for such a small horse. He does lack a bit of scope, but what he lacks in scope, he just has in jumping ability. He's really developed nicely. Has Top Notch. I really do like him. I think he'll run a massive race. Flying Angel has been subject to a few whispers at bigger prices. I do like Disco. I just wonder, is he a bit on the weak side still, despite winning that Grade 1 last time out? But the horse I do like in the race is Sam Politolog, who would be a welcome winner for Paul Nicholls in a festival chase. Really taken with him back in December when he won at Ascot. He beat Rock the Casbah that day, beat him comprehensively as well, which is a solid bit of form. Royal Vacation was two and three quarter lengths back in third. You know, I really like the form of that race. He just looks like a really nice, scopey individual with a really bright future, Politolog. And I can see him running a really big race. And as we say, York Hill is plenty short there, and I'm sure I won't be the only one in saying that he looks vulnerable now.
Yeah, correct. Politolog then, the selection for Kev, for Paul Nicholls, Sam Twiss and Davis doing the steering on board that one. Currently a 5-1 chance with the save for that race at William Hill. We move on to the second race on the card on Thursday, which is the 210, the Potemps Network final. It is a handicap hurdle listed event over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. And joint favourites at time recording, Presenting Percy and To Be Fair, both in the betting at 7-1. Jury Duty, 8-1. 8-1 also Impulsive Star, for Good Measure, 10-1. 12-1 El Bandit, and Isle of Hope and Dreams, 12-1. 14s and bigger prices for the rest of them. A competitive heat as ever, Kev.
It is. I mean, I usually try to look for something that's got more of an obscure profile coming into this race,
right,
but
okay,
the likes of To Be Fair and El Bandit, who's won something like 6 of his last 7 starts, are the ones I quite like. El Bandit is just all about stamina. He just doesn't stop. He just keeps going. He's won around the course before. And considering how much winning he's done and the yard he's at, he's not actually there on a bad mark of 143. I don't have a particularly strong opinion in the race, Sam, I'll be honest with you. But I do think El Bandit has another really big run in him here. The fact that he's here alone says that he must do. I'm always wary of Philip Hobbs's horses in this race. Golden Diane is a good, tough, solid horse. He'll be banged there as well. He'll jump, he'll travel. Whether or not he's good enough at the finish remains to be seen. But, you know, apart from that, there's any number of kind of interest and dark horses in there, likes of Electric Concord and what's it? Isle of Hope and Dreams.
Yeah,
that's another one. William Mullins and Ruby Walsh there towards the top of the market as well, coming as one, two of his last three starts. So a typically open renewal of the Pretemps, but I'll stick with El Bandit to hopefully run another big race.
El Bandit 12-1 then for the Pretemps final, the second race on the card. On Thursday, we go to race number three then, which is the 250, the Ryanair Chaser. Grade one chase here over 2.5 miles. Underso is the 2-1 market leader. Empire of Dirt, 130. 7-2 for Rooks Zandra. Sub-Lieutenant, 6-1. Jossett's Hill, 7-1. Alari is 20-1. Vanito, 25-1. 50-1 bar those. Underso is another one who William Mullins would have expected to be running a big race in this one. I've never been fully convinced with his jumping, I must admit, Kev. Seems to get really low at his fences, which is great when he clears them, but I always feel like he's inches away from hitting one. He's got like a do or die action, I always feel.
Yeah, he does jump well on the whole, though, and he might just outclass these. I mean, even when he was only three lengths second to Sprinter Sacra in the Champion Chase last year, when you look at what the horses that were behind him, given the result we've just had today, that was quite a good run, and come the he was staying on all the time up the hill. And, you know, the same in the Clarence House last time out, everybody was saying how good a run it was for Muxie Zandra after 2 years off. Yes, it was, but at the end of the day, if you watch the last 40 yards of that race, Undersoul was just stretching away again. He was just beginning to pull away from Muxie Zandra, who, you know, he could improve a ton for that and produce a performance like he did a couple of years ago under Sir AP, which was a monstrous performance. He had Don Cossack beaten about eight or nine lengths back in third that day. So Uxie's Andrew, we know he has that kind of performance in him, but is he the horse he was 2 years ago? We don't quite know. Empire of Dirt, obviously been trained for the race. He's a quality animal. He won here last season in a handicap off a mark just below 150. So, and he's done nothing wrong this season. He's continued to be in good form. But, I mean, I'm just struggling to see how, if Underso does turn up in prime form, how he doesn't go really, really close here. Joss's Hill might turn out to be his chief threat if he brings his A game.
Okay, Underso then, the one to beat very much in the Ryanair Chase coming up at 250. We go over Timber then for the final race on today's podcast. It's the feature race on the Thursday of the festival. The Stayers Hurdle coming up at 3:30. A hurdle here of just shy of 3 miles. It's a grade one prize on offer, and you know what I mean. Harry is the 5-4 market leader, 7-1 for Jeski. Cole Harden, 8-1, 8-1 Shane's Hill. Nichols Canyon, 10-1. Bally Optic, 14s. 14-1 West Approach, 20s. And bigger for the rest of them. You know what I mean, Harry. That seems to have been favourite for this race for quite some time, Kev.
Yeah, I think he'll win. Mm. You know, Cole Harden, I can see him putting up a big performance from the front. The ground, I haven't looked at the latest weather update, but there is a little bit of rain around the place for tomorrow, coming in tomorrow evening maybe. I don't think it'll get there on time to dent Cole Harden's each way claims too much. You know, I think he'll run a monstrous race, Cole Harden. Jeski has the ability, as we know, but does he have the absolute stamina to quicken off a Cole Harden pace? I'm not sure he has that. But I'm going to stick with, for the win, I'm going to stick with, you know what I mean, Harry. He's taken this division. You know, he's really grabbed the bull by the horn, so to speak. You know, the division after the departure of Thistlecrack to Chase, and you know what I mean, Harry, jumped in and said, look, I'm the best. Nothing he's done has told us otherwise, and he's a banker.
Okay, you know what I mean, Harry, then a banker in the Stayers Hurdle, available at 5-4 at the time recording for that race. Give us a quick recap then, please, Kev, of some of your fancies for the third day of the Cheltenham Festival.
I'm going to go with Politolog to cause a minor upset and beat York Hill in the JLT. In the Pretemps, I'm hoping that El Bandit can maintain his quite fantastic run of form of late. The Ryanair is a tricky affair, but I'm going to stick with Underso in the hope that he can turn up in good form and do himself justice in the Ryanair. And then in the Stayers Hurdle, I'm going to stick with a favourite. You know what I mean, Harry, to continue his run of winning form.
Excellent stuff. There we are then, thoughts of Kevin O'Malley ahead of the Thursday of the festival. Let you go now, Kevin, go and watch the cross country. Thank you very much for that and best of luck for the rest of the week.
Cheers, Sam.
And remember, you can join us on William Hill's Racing Radio from 10 past 12 on Thursday afternoon, where we've got extended build-ups to the third day at the festival with Dave Kellner. And then from 1:10 p.m. it's Racing Radio as usual, guiding you through all of the meetings in the UK and in Ireland. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.